As I said this morning, we'll recommence our two series next Lord's Day, God willing. And so this evening, just as this morning, we're looking at texts that are relevant for the start of the new year. And we're going to turn again to the Old Testament and to some very well-known words in the book of Proverbs. So it is Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That great commentator, Matthew Henry, said that the third chapter is the greatest chapter in the book of Proverbs, and that in this, the greatest chapter of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6 are the greatest verses. And you have a progression here. And even though it doesn't come first, we start with the negative. Don't depend on your own understanding. Don't use your own ideas as a prop. That word lean means to use as a prop. So that's the negative. You see, Solomon's a good Puritan. He wants us to understand what it is not first. And then comes the positive. Lean instead on the Lord. Trust in him. But then there's something stronger. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's a bit more than heart trust. It's showing in our lives that we are his. The phrase coming out is used a lot today in another context. But let's use it in terms of our witness. Let us not be closet Christians, but let us in 2018 come out and live as if God is in complete control. So we don't depend on our own understanding. Instead, we trust in the God of providence. And then we live as if that is true. And then there's this lovely promise, and he shall direct your paths. As we sang in that hymn, God holds the key of all unknown. We don't know what 2018 has in store for us. We don't see the path ahead of us. God does. And all we want to do is walk with him. And isn't that a privilege? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. That's what Christianity is all about. Now, let me give you some other verses, because this isn't just something that is found in Proverbs. Indeed, we could be here all night just listing verses that deal with this theme. But let me give you one or two. The psalm that was read to us. Did you notice in that psalm? Verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Here is King David. He's a very important man, but he's not depending on his own understanding. He's looking to the Lord, his God. And then this is developed in Psalm 32, verse 8 of Psalm 32. I like the way this is put. God is speaking to David here. I will instruct you. So David is saying, I'm not going to depend on my own understanding. And God is saying to him, look here, David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And this is what I like. I will guide you with mine eye. Isn't that encouraging? I'm short-sighted, so you're not all clear tonight because I'm not wearing my glasses. God isn't short-sighted. His sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh. And I will, how does it go? I will walk or I will go with him. There you go. And then what about the New Testament? I did ask Richard to announce Romans 12 as one of the readings for a good reason. You have it in verse 2 of Romans 12. Here is the greatest intellect, surely, in the whole of the Bible, the Apostle Paul. And he says, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's saying, in effect, don't be molded by this world's thinking, but mold your mind in the Word of God, and then you can be sure that you're in safe hands. And just one more reference, maybe James. James was more practical. James chapter 1. We often pray this verse in elders' meetings. Many of us elders have degrees, so we're probably fairly intelligent, but we're not to rely on our own understandings. This is what James 1:5 says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Lord, I don't want to rely on my ideas as to how this church should be led. Lord, you lead us in the way that you will have us go. That's why we are praying that prayer as elders. We are afraid of our own understanding. And it's not just something for elders. It is something for us as a congregation and as individual Christians. So it's a big subject, this. And all I want to do this afternoon, or should I say this evening, is expand on some things I spoke to the youngsters on in Tea and Toast recently. How can I know that I'm in the way that God will have me go? There is the path here, the Lord's way. How can I be sure in this new year that I'm going the right way? And when I was in university, guidance, as this is called, was one of the most popular subjects in Christian Union. There were two subjects that were always spoken about. One was guidance, and the other was relationships, i.e. who will I marry? And they're both kind of interlinked anyway. So we're going to think tonight about guidance. How can I know that I am in the way? I've just got a number of checks to put before us. The first is this. Am I in the Word? This is the thing that keeps us from going astray. The Word of God. I told the youngsters about the new car that I've been given recently. And whenever I'm parking my new car, especially if I'm reversing into a space, I have to take great care because my previous car had sensors. Have you got a car with parking sensors? They beep as you reverse. And with my old car, I was depending on the sensors to park. I didn't bother looking. I was just trusting in the sensors. But alas, there are no sensors in the new car. So I've got to be really on my guard. And it's a bit subjective then. But when we are coming to the way that God would have us go, how can I be sure that I don't crash as a Christian? Well, here you have the sensors of God's word. A sensor hasn't got anything to do with how you may feel. A sensor is something objective. And if we keep to the word, we will be on a safe path. Elwyn Davis never forgets his words to some of us. Always keep to Scripture and you'll be safe. Keep to the Word of God. I've often mentioned Crib Goch, that knife edge that you can go on to get up to Snowdon. And if you find yourself on Crib Goch, the temptation is to steer off the path because it looks easier. But what you have to do is keep to the ridge. It looks well nigh impossible in parts, but on that ridge, you've got solid rock. If you veer to the left, it's all scree and it's dangerous. And it's a bit like that with the Word of God, is it not? How can I, in 2018, follow the Word of God? Society is going in another direction. It's so hard to stand out for Jesus Christ, to acknowledge him in all my ways. But we need not fear. This Word is the solid ground. It's when we go astray and think in our own ways that we're going on to the quicksand. So this is the first thing, the Word of God. If you feel led in a certain direction and it goes against the Word, that's not the Spirit's. The Spirit is the author of Scripture. And the Spirit, if he guides you in a subjective way, he will always concur with what he's written. So the Word. And then the second thing, and this is so important, God's providences. Great providence of heaven, we sang. Don't we believe in a God who's in complete control of everything? And John Flavel, the Puritan, he used to put it like this. We commune with God in his providences. And so what does that mean in practice? Well, it means this. We believe that everything is happening to us because our Father in heaven has planned it that way. And we're asking God, oh Lord, what have you got to teach me in this providence? I'm often quite tickled at a number of people who call themselves Calvinists and who believe in the sovereignty of God. But when things are not going their way, they get all frantic in terms of thinking that God is not in control. Oh, my friends, we should be Calvinists if we call ourselves that, in practice as well as in theory. It was said of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones in an obituary that was written about him that he didn't just believe in his head the sovereignty of God, but he actually lived in its light. So I have the Word, and then I'm looking at this world as God's world, and he is in complete control. So if he means for me to go in a certain direction, he will open the way. We don't have to force the way open. God will put an open door before you if he means you to go in that way. Are we looking for that? And the reverse is true as well. If God doesn't want us to go in a direction, he'll shut the door. And this is what we need to be sensitive to. We are sensitive to his providential dealings. We don't dictate to the Lord. We humble ourselves and we say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Can I give you the example of Paul and Silas? There is nothing wrong with planning in terms of what we want to do for the Lord. Paul and Silas did that. They were evangelizing in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and they had their plans, and they were wise plans to take the gospel across Asia Minor. But unfortunately, their plans weren't God's plans. And so in Acts 16, you have the account of God, and we don't know how this came about, but God closed the door to Paul and Silas ministering in Asia Minor. Now, if we were in their position, we probably would have been gutted that our well-laid plans have been brought to naught, and we would have got discouraged, but not Paul and Silas. They realized that it wasn't God's will for them to evangelize in Asia Minor, and actually the closing of that door opened another door. God wanted greater things for them. He opened the door for the gospel in Europe, and so they went to Philippi, and they preached the gospel there with great power, and the rest, they say, is history. So God shutting doors, God opening doors. If you've had the disappointment of God closing a door in 2017, take heart. It means that God has other plans for you. And in this area, God works at both ends. What do I mean by that? Let me give you an example. Somebody went up to Spurgeon once and said to him, "Mr. Spurgeon, the Spirit has told me that next Sunday I'm to preach in your pulpits." Oh, said Spurgeon, "that's interesting, because he hasn't said it to me." If it would have been God's will for that man to have preached in the Met tab, wouldn't he have let the pastor know as well? God works at both ends. Shouldn't we pray for divine appointments? Think of sharing the gospel with people. Yes, we have a responsibility. We pray for opportunities to speak. But shouldn't we pray as well that God would already be working in the person's hearts, so that there's a coming together, that in God's perfect time, we have those encounters with people? Oh, my friends, if we start living in this light, seeing everything as part of God's providence, it does transform our life. This can be a great comfort to us as well. Bhaskar Rao, he invited me on the trip to India when I started in this church. And do you know what I said to him? "No way. I am terrified of snakes. There's no way I'm going to India." And he must have taken it to the Lord in prayer, because a few years afterwards, the Lord worked in my heart and gave me a desire to go. And the Lord opened the door. And even when I found myself there, I was still afraid of being bitten by a cobra. And this is what Bhaskar Rao said to us in order to encourage us. And you can apply this to anything you're afraid of in 2018. He said this: "If God ordains that we will be bitten by a cobra, then we will." So we can relax. That doesn't mean to say that we should be reckless, but it does mean that we shouldn't be overly anxious about it. What are you afraid of this year? Oh, I want to encourage you with that same thought. If God ordains something, it is for our ultimate good. So there's the word of God. There's the providence of God. I need to rush through these things. Then the third check is prayer. There's the phrase which can become a cliche, but it's an important one. Do we take it to the Lord in prayer? Do you remember King David? King David in his youth, often he would inquire of the Lord regarding something, and that ensured that he was walking in the way that God would have him go. But then you read of him when he got to the throne. Don't you remember that occasion when he sinned against Bathsheba and against Uriah? And what was the starting point of that sin? David forgot to take it to the Lord in prayer. And you have it happening at other times as well. Can I put it like this? Just an open door doesn't necessarily mean that God would have us go through it. We must pray about it. Thy will, not mine. The Lord Jesus had to pray that prayer. I've often found this to be the case in my experience. If I'm in prayer about something, then I can be assured that I'm on safe ground. Cover it in prayer. And then the fourth check. Let me read Proverbs 12 here. Proverbs 12. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. What does that mean? I take advice. You know some people, they'll take advice from somebody who will tell them what they want to hear. Now, that isn't what Solomon means there. He means there are certain people we look up to as Christians. We all have men and women of God. They are godly. They may not be important, but we go to them for advice. And if it's a decision regarding something important, surely I am humble enough to take the advice of a godly Christian. If I'm so determined in doing something that I'm not ready to listen to a second opinion, then that's not a good sign. If God would have me go in a direction, then I'm sure he will give advice from another Christian. And then the fifth one. We got the word, providence, prayer, good advice. And then here is the subjective one, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Note, this is important, but we didn't start with this. And I'm thinking here now of important things. I'm not thinking of what socks to put on in the morning. There's an example in Packer. If you've never read Packer, Knowing God, read it in 2018 and read his chapter on guidance. And he gives an example of a super spiritual group. And this group, they wouldn't even choose what item of clothing to put on in the morning unless they were led of the Spirit. Now, that is taking it way too far. There's such a thing as sanctified common sense, and as we immerse ourselves with Scripture, we begin to see things God's way. But there is an important area here. Surely, God doesn't just guide us through his word. Paul said in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God are his. And he's speaking there of an inner instructor, the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I detect these promptings of the Spirit? Well, you've got to distinguish your own feelings from the prompting of the Spirit. The prompting of the Spirit will come within. It's in your spirits. It's the Spirit within us that is giving those promptings. But it won't be the same as our feelings. Can I give an example? A young man struggling with whether the Lord is calling him into the Christian ministry. He may have a desire to preach, but he'll be able to distinguish that personal desire from an urging, a burden that is given of the Spirit. If you think of many men who were called of the Lord into the ministry, think of a man like John Knox. John Knox's natural desire was not to go into the ministry, it was to run in the other direction. And yet he had this inner prompting. Now, it's not just something for pastors, it is something for all Christians. You may be prompted to witness to a certain person. So I find this very difficult, but an important area. Oh, may 2018 be a year when we're sensitive to the leadings of the Spirit. How do I know if the Spirit is leading me? Well, these promptings won't go against the Word of God. These promptings won't force providence. These promptings will come to us when we're mostly in prayer, not just when we're in prayer, but when we're reading the Word, when we're on our knees, then these promptings will be stronger. These promptings will not be got rid of. It's not some fad that we have. It may be a gradual burden that we just can't shake off. Oh, my friends, God deals with us as individuals. It's wonderful, this relationship that we have with the Saviour. Thomas Goodwin said, God dealeth familiarly with men. The Lord may prompt us in going in a certain direction in all sorts of ways. He may give us a verse. We shouldn't be looking for verses, but that doesn't mean to say that the Spirit can't sometimes speak to us by giving us such a clear verse that we know that that's the way in which we are to go. Oh, forgive a personal reference here. When I was struggling with the call to this church, and it was at the time when things were very difficult for you over here, I was in difficulty as well, but in my quiet time, I was just reading through the book of Psalms, and the Lord spoke to me, and it was in such a clear way, I'll never forget it. I was reading Psalm 25, and the Lord just gave the verse, "The meek will he guide in judgment." That verse just spoke to me with such power that I was able to hold on to it as an anchor for days, weeks, and months. Now, I've read that psalm since, and that verse hasn't stood out. But at the time, the Spirit prompted me with that. And, oh, I just want to encourage you to be prepared for these leadings of the Spirit. I'm coming to a conclusion. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's got an excellent illustration when it comes to guidance. He's thinking of a train station. I think it's Paddington Station, because that's where the Great Western trains are. He had homesickness, didn't he, in London? And he's thinking of a train about to leave for Cardiff. The train is there. Everything is ready. It's time on the timetable. It's the time for that train to leave. But the driver still hasn't started. Why not? Even though everything is in place, all the checks are there, there's one thing they're still waiting for. The signal. The signal. Once the signal goes down, then they're ready to go. And this is how Dr. Martin applies it to guidance. When it comes to the really important things, yes, we use these checks. The Word, providence, prayer, advice, but if it's really important, even if you've got everything else in place, oh, my friend, don't go forward unless the Lord gives the signal, unless the Lord gives that sense of peace, unless you know in your heart that this is what God would have you do. And then the promise, he shall direct your paths. What does it mean to go on the Lord's paths? Let me reassure you, yes, it's a safe path. Yes, it's a blessed path, but it's not an easy path. It's not a bed of roses. Let me give you some examples. David, the man we've already referred to in the Psalms, he was in the Lord's way, but wasn't he a fugitive for many years in following the Lord's directions? Yes, he got to the throne in the end, but the path to the throne was through much, much humiliation. What about the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ when they were following him in his earthly ministry? Weren't they in his will when they took the boats onto the Sea of Galilee? Weren't they in his will when they were in that storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and the Lord Jesus was asleep in the boat? Indeed, they were stuck in a storm not just once but twice on the Sea of Galilee. But it didn't mean that they were outside of his will. They were walking the Lord's path as close as anybody could. My friends, if we are going in the way that the Lord would have us go, it doesn't mean that it will be still. Yes, we'll have storms, but this is the lovely thing. In the eye of the storm, we know his peace. And what about the Apostle Paul? Oh, I've been reading 2 Corinthians recently. The Apostle Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, the man that many regard as one of the greatest in all of the New Testament. And he just gives a bit of his own experience. This is what it means to go path of the Lord. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Struck down, yet not destroyed. And what about the Lord Jesus Christ himself? The perfect man who came to do God's will to perfection. What kind of life did he have? He was known as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His path led to a cross, but that cross led to glory. My friends, to be on the safe path doesn't mean that things will be easy. But oh, isn't it better to be safe and to be blessed and to have a storm raging around us than to be stuck in some doldrums because we're determined to go our own way? I'll give an example and I'll quote a hymn and then I promise I'll be done. Have you heard of Richard Williams? Richard Williams, he was a doctor on a missionary party that went to Tierra del Fuego. Do you know where that is? The very tip of South America. In 1850, a group of missionaries went there. They were convinced that the Lord had called them there. And when they arrived, the weather was and the landscape was so hostile that they died one by one. And Richard Williams, the doctor, was the man that died last. And his body was later recovered. And the search party found his diary. And the last page was a dying testimony to the doctor's undying faith in Jesus Christ. Picture the man huddled up in the hull of his little boat, suffering from scurvy, and he wrote the following words as his last testament. Listen to these words. Here's a man on the path of Jesus Christ. And this is how he describes it. The last one to die. Should anything prevent my ever adding to this, let my beloved ones at home rest assured that I was happy. I was happy beyond all expression the night I wrote these lines, his last words, and would not have exchanged situations with any man living. Let them also be assured that my hopes were full and blooming with immortality, that heaven and love and Christ, which mean one and the same divine thing, were my soul, that the hope of glory filled my whole heart with joy and gladness, and that to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Trust, trust in the Lord. We used to sing at the end of our evening service, lead me, Lord, lead me. In 2018, lead us in thy righteousness. Make thy way, not mine, thy way plain before my face. And so will I ever dwell in safety and in happiness. May this year be a year when we, as individuals and as a church, depend less on our own understanding and learn to trust implicitly in our Father in heaven so that we know what it is to be guided of him in those paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, amen.